You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Bachelor in Paradise and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 253. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Great show for you this week. Going back old school with someone who hasn't been on in 3 years, and that is one of the first villains this show has ever seen, Trish Schneider Cullins from Jesse Palmer's season. We all remember Trish. That is coming up momentarily. One thing that I want to get out of the way real quick. You know that I record the interviews whenever, and you know the interview itself and then the ending I record when I record it. But then I always wait till usually Wednesday night to record this open after the interview is already recorded and just making sure nothing breaks or anything like that. I do want to say this. When you hear me intro Trish, I totally blanked. Had a brain cramp. I call her Trish Schneider Cullen. It's Cullens, but I had already recorded the whole interview until I realized it, and I told her about it on text, and there's no point to go back. I'm not going to re-record a whole interview of 55 minutes over, you know, the mispronunciation of her name, so just know that. It's Trish Schneider Cullens, not Cullen, like I initially call her when I bring her in, so get that out of the way. The other thing is, as I'm recording this Wednesday night, if you've read the site over the last couple days, you know that Clayton season begins filming this weekend. The women have arrived in LA. That usually means we are going to get the Bachelor Facebook page releasing all the potential women, possibly on Clayton season. There's a good chance, as you're listening to this, at some point on Thursday, I am currently spilling the first and last names of all the women because they're only going to release the first name, the city, and their age. And then I do go to town. I've got help, people that help me figure out who these women are. They don't even give you a last initial. So some of them are easy to find, some of them aren't. But there's a chance that they could be released today, early this morning. And I've already released a few by the time you're listening to this, more. Or it's not released today, and maybe it's. I don't see them doing it on a Friday. I really do think, I have a feeling they've probably been released this morning as you're listening to this. And this is a long process. Usually it's 30 to 35 potentials. I've given you 4 that I tweeted out yesterday. So I'm going to have around 30 that I'm going to have to go find once they're released. But good chance they're being released. And I'm currently at work. It's going to be usually a full day. It usually takes me a good 8 to 10 hours to find everybody. Because then not only do I find the names, I also want to give you a screenshot of anything I find Google-wise, mostly their Instagram account, and then to put it on Twitter, also to put it on my Instagram stories, and then to put it on my feed. I can't put it on my feed till late until I have every single one because you can't go in and add and edit. It's just... Anyway, but yeah, that's the plan. If they are released, as I'm recording this, they haven't been released yet on the Bachelor Facebook page, but you know how it's been. The last 5 or 6 seasons, they literally release them at like 4 in the morning. It's really bizarre. I know the last few seasons, I've woken up at 6:30 in the morning, and they've been up for a couple hours. So I have a feeling when I wake up tomorrow morning, the women are going to be out there on the Facebook page. And if not, just know it's coming soon, and I'm going to have to spend most of the day finding them. Like I do every season. So just be on the lookout for that. So what else is going on? There was one thing that a lot of people were asking me about in regards to when is Clayton going to be officially announced as The Bachelor by ABC. It's a good question. I don't know. And... we still don't know, and I don't know, how far he got on Michelle's season. I do think it's interesting. You know, usually they announce The Bachelor on GMA. he's in LA right now going through, you know, fittings, preseason interviews, stuff like that. So I doubt they're going to fly him to GMA and fly him right back. He's set to go for filming in LA. So we know that filming is back at the mansion, starts at the mansion this year. So I don't see the announcement coming on GMA. Unless they, I guess they could do a satellite shot of him. But I, to answer your question, I have no idea when they plan on officially announcing it. Maybe they are going to wait until he's a, until we see him get eliminated on Michelle's season, which wouldn't mean till, you know, obviously he lasts a few episodes. He's not gone the first night. But then you're looking at mid-November, and it's just going to be like, okay, he's going to almost be done with his filming by the time you announce him officially as your bachelor. That seems weird because it's already out. Everybody knows it's already out. But in terms of when it's going to be official by ABC, that I'm not sure of. It'll be official, like behind the scenes official, this weekend when filming starts, and he's literally the one guy that all the women are there to pursue. So I can't imagine them waiting too much longer. What's the point? They know it's out there, and they know they start filming soon. So the exact day filming starts, I do not know. I would think probably Saturday night, but it could be extended to Saturday or even Sunday, maybe even Monday, because I don't know what they're doing about quarantine anymore. Clearly, the women have to go out there early, but I don't know if quarantine is now down to 3 days, if it's down to five, if they're not even casting people who aren't vaxxed. I have no idea. The show is the worst at being transparent about anything that goes on in their franchise. So we have no idea. In the past, yeah, it was for Claire and Tayshia's season and then Matt's season and Katie's season, there was definitely minimum 5 day quarantine. But, you know, the women arrived yesterday and Tuesday and yesterday. I don't think we're looking at 5 day quarantines anymore. And the note that I gave yesterday in the column was that I'm hearing they're back, or was it Tuesday? I think Tuesday. That I'm hearing they're going back to international travel this year. They're going to visit a few countries during Clayton season. So how does that change things? I don't know. I mean, it's not far-fetched that they're going to different countries. Plenty of other reality shows, you know, The Challenge went to Croatia and stuff during pandemic. So it is possible to film in other countries. It's not unheard of. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the exact day of filming, but I know the women have arrived in LA. And so that once they're arriving, they don't make them sit around for 2 weeks. This isn't Survivor this year. Once they get there, it's usually, you know, non-COVID years. It was only 3 days they had to wait. Now with COVID, I don't know. I know for Katie's and Matt's and Claire and Tayshia's season, it was definitely longer, 5 days. But just know it's starting soon. I don't have an exact date. I'll say Saturday, Sunday, Monday. One of those days is probably when they're starting. So anyway, let's get going. Like I said, it's Trish Snyder Cullens. You'll hear me call her Cullen when I first start out. But so fun to go back, talk old school Bachelor with you. Trish has not been on since June 21st of 2018. That's crazy. I can't believe it's been 3 years since we had her on. Great talk with her. A lot of fun. Hope you enjoy it. Podcast number 253.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Okay, let's bring her in. You saw her on Jesse Palmer's season of The Bachelor, where, in my mind, she was probably the first true villain that this show ever had. It is Trish Snyder Cullen. Trish, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
It has been over 3 years since you've been on. This is podcast number 253. You were on podcast number 83 back on June 21st, 2018. That has been like, holy shit. Obviously, a lot has happened in this world since then, clearly.
I know.
So first things
so crazy.
First, how are you? How have things been in your life since you and I last spoke?
Oh my gosh. I know, crazy. 3 years ago. Great. God, 3 years. Just trying to think. We have made a big move. We have graduated all 3 children from college. Kind of got forced into retirement with COVID.
Well, here's the big question I want to ask you, because obviously with COVID, things getting shut down, a lot of people spending time at home and whatnot.
Yeah.
I want to know, plenty of downtime during the pandemic. Be honest with me. How many times did you watch The Scorned during the pandemic?
That would be none.
Oh, come on. One of the greatest movies ever made.
Thanks. No, the funniest thing is I don't go back and watch that stuff. It's weird. It's weird to see yourself on TV or, you know, even kind of when I modeled, it was strange, doing commercials and things like that. And it was strange to see yourself on a commercial or on TV or whatever. So, you know, when actors say, oh, not saying that I'm an actor, but when they say, oh, I never watched the movies I'm in, it's like, I get it. I understand. It's an odd feeling.
Yeah, no, I hear that a lot of times from actors, like, big time actors on like main in movies and in like major TV shows that are aired. They're like, yeah, I don't watch myself. I have no idea. I mean, I filmed it and I know that we did a bunch of takes so I could tell you what happened, but as it played out on TV, no, I never watch it back. I've always found that to be kind of weird.
I feel like you're super critical of yourself.
Yeah.
Regardless. I mean, I watched my season of The Bachelor, don't get me wrong. Everything except for, I think, one episode I watched. And even, like, people will send me clips of things. And it's like, wow, okay, all right. I didn't realize I did that with my eye or my lip or my hand or whatever. So
I didn't realize I wore a t-shirt that said gold digger like a hooker but smarter. I didn't realize that. I forgot.
The famous t-shirt.
Yeah. You know, for people that don't remember, like I said, you were on 3 years ago. The Scorned was a movie that was made, I think it aired on MTV or E. No, it aired on E, right?
On E.
And it was.
Is there a revival of this? Am I getting residual?
I know. I was going to say, like, no, I haven't seen it air again anywhere since then.
Yeah.
But it was a bunch of reality TV people that were like fresh off their seasons at the time. And I'm trying to remember, some of the other people that were in it.
I know. It was funny because it was really like that first crop of reality stars when reality had just started to get going. It was Bob from The Bachelor, Bob Guinea.
I remember Johnny Fairplay was in
Johnny Fairplay. It was Steven from
Real World.
Was it Real World or was it Road Rules?
I think he was Real World Vegas. It might have been. I could be. Trishel.
May have been.
Trishel was in. Yeah.
Ethan and Ethan from Survivor and
Jenna.
Jenna.
Yeah. They at the time they were dating. Now they've both moved on. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other crazy one from Real World, was it Tanya?
Oh, yeah. Tanya Cooley, yes.
Oh, always some type of drama. And then, you know, people kind of flitted in and out. Oh, there was Tony. From Love.
Oh, yeah. That was on a boat or something.
Love on a boat or something. And then, yeah.
Or it was Paradise Hotel. Paradise Hotel. That's
Paradise Hotel. Thank you.
Yes, the original Paradise Hotel.
There was the other, I think she was on The Apprentice. Light-skinned black girl. Real pretty. What was her name? It'll come to me. She's on the poster with us because she was there for most of it. But then, like, they had, you know, obviously the cameos and the guest appearances of other, you know, reality people that would pop in and pop out. But I feel like that was really like that crop of reality people that kind of everyone recognized at that point.
Yeah.
Hence why they brought us all together.
Yeah. No, you were, I finally pulled it up, but Jenna Lewis from Survivor Borneo, and then
Jenna.
You named pretty much that was the main cast, and then supporting, a bunch of the other one that in the main cast that we didn't mention was Ryken from Amazing Race season 4.
Oh, Ryken. How could you leave out Ryken? the most beautiful man.
And then a bunch of other. Rob Cesternino was in it. He was a supporting cast. Jervis. I forget, was it Gervais? Yeah. He was in it. Just a bunch of people that were in early seasons of Amazing Race, Apprentice, and Big Brother, basically.
Big Brother.
Yes. A lot of Big Brother people in that. And basically, you were the main person. This is about a film about a woman who awakes one night to find out her fiance is in bed with her best friend. The woman is murdered in the ensuing struggle. 17 months later, her spirit still inhabits the house and unleashes her wrath on the unfaithful new tenants of the house. So you were the one that was married and found your fiance in bed with the other woman, right? Or were you the other woman in the bed?
No, I found the fiance.
And then you're the one that died.
And then I died.
And you're murdered. And then you haunt the house. What an awesome flick.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe you haven't watched this. And original release, 2005. It was only 16 years ago.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy to think about that.
It's crazy to think that The Bachelor was 2004.
Yeah.
And then, life is so different
with the way social media is now. Obviously, you're probably you were on the cover of most of the magazines and you were the most talked about woman from Jesse's season just because, and you know, I've talked about this numerous times in the podcast over the years. The word villain has different meanings to it when it comes to this show, because there are villains who are truly just assholes on the show, but literally you get labeled a villain on the show for the most part if you're just either the outspoken one, someone who speaks their mind, and just the person that's like, I don't care to be, you know, buddy buddy with everyone here in the house. I'm here for the lead. And that was pretty much you. You were outspoken, and you weren't like, oh, let's braid each other's hair. You weren't one of those girls.
Yes. No.
You know? So,
no. If you have a problem, don't come to me and I'm going to brush your hair and tell you it's fine.
Yeah.
No.
That wasn't you on Jesse's season. But obviously you made it far. And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you were the first person to ever get eliminated and then return.
Come back.
And then return on the show. I know we talked about this in the first one, but I forgot your answer, so I want you to repeat it again.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesse eliminated you, what was the thought? Did you physically go back to, I think you were living in Atlanta at the time, maybe not. Was it Atlanta at the time that you were living in when you did the show?
No, I was in South Florida.
Okay, so you were in Florida. Did you go back to Florida and then the producers contacted you and said, hey, we think it'd be great if you came back, or were you still on set locally at the hotel? Where was it all filming at the time and your elimination? To explain that again.
So the final, keep in mind, this is my season. Things may have changed since.
Yeah.
But at the time, the final four girls, no matter what happened, you had to stay in LA the entire filming of like seven. We were 7 weeks at that point. Just because if they, you know, obviously anyone watching, if they sent someone home and they saw you, it would give away the whole thing. So the final four had to stay in LA for the entire, until they were done filming. So I was in LA anyway. And the night of that elimination was when I kind of found out what was going on, like behind the scenes with all the girls. Cause honestly, I just had no idea. And so we got in the limo and, you know, they're interviewing, they do that final interview. And so this is when I kind of start putting the pieces together and finding it all out. And I was like, you can turn the limo around and like, I'm going back to the mansion and to like, at least have a conversation with Jesse, because that was just not right. I guess, like, how to leave things. Because I wanted to get, not the final say, but, you know, to be like, hey, what? Like, what is going on? Well, again, you can imagine it's like 2 a.m. or 12 midnight. They've sent everyone home. Like, the camera crews went home. They were, like, done. And so, of course, the lead producer comes down, gets in the limo with another producer, and we start talking. And then, not that we hatched the plan, but they were like, we can't let you go back in there, because obviously we have no cameras and it didn't, you know, why would we not film this? This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
So that's when they said, all right, we have to take this to ABC to get approval to bring you back. Because it had never obviously been done before, and we need to. And Jesse was leaving, I think, the next day to go. I think he was going to the Bahamas, I want to say. And then he was going to Washington, and then he was going to Canada. I think that's how they had routed it. So they came back, I guess, the next day or 2 days later. We had an interview at where I was living in LA, and then like the ball kind of got rolling and got set in motion. So they had to basically scramble to find a crew, because all these people, once they're, you know, their time is up, they take other projects.
Yeah.
And they start whittling down how many camera guys and how many, you know, people they have. So they had to, you know, scramble to find a producer and do all that stuff. And then that's why I ended up in Washington. Yeah, that's kind of how that all played out. That's why, you know, we pulled him to the side in that little like service area with the coffee machines. God, I'm reaching. That was the episode I didn't even see.
Because
they were the ones. Yeah.
I remember you walked in on him on a date with somebody else.
With Mandy.
Oh, it was Mandy. Okay.
It was Mandy.
But it was Mandy's date. She was, it was at that point he was down to three.
Yeah.
And she was in Washington for what? Her home? Like, what did they do?
No, for the overnights.
Oh, so they did an overnight in Washington? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have no idea.
Oh, I think, in the day, that's right. They did overnights in three separate locations. Maybe she was from Washington or something. I don't know, but that's what it was. Yeah. In overnights, they did it in three separate locations. Now they all go to the same place and they just do three different locations within the same place. So that's what it was. That's right. Okay, so they had three different overnights and you show up during the night portion when they're just sitting there at dinner and...
Yeah.
Okay, and pull him aside, and obviously it didn't work. But you knew you were going to be interrupting his dinner with her. It's not like they surprised you. Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, but you know what? Don't you know, talk about me behind my back and throw me under the bus. You know, I'm gonna let you sit there for a little while alone. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm getting the last word on this one.
I don't remember. What did you, like, what was your last word or what was the point that you wanted to make when you went back and saw him during that?
I think it was just, let's clear the air. You know, this is what you've been hearing and this is completely not true. And then also, you know, because at the time, keep in mind, I actually did do the show for the right reasons. I wasn't dating anybody. I just thought, hey, let's see what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I expect to fall in love and get married? No, but you never know who you're going to meet or how, you know, where you're going to go in life. So I went into it with that intention, not the intention of I want to be famous. That's completely overrated. But yeah. That was my intention going into it. So, and then I kind of just said, here's what's going to happen. You know, if you pick Mandy, Tara, or Jessica, like this is the reality of it. Mark my words. And it's exactly what happened. But, you know, we all know at the end of the day, you know, Jesse wanted to be a sportscaster. He wanted to be on TV and he was not going to rock that boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, look, it worked out for the guy. He's literally been on TV ever since since he got off that show.
Oh, yes. I know. Every Sunday my husband's like, "Hey."
Yeah, he's certainly, and now he's hosting a reality show that airs right after Bachelor in Paradise. It's on I don't know if you know this, but yeah, you're not watching Paradise, but that's okay. We don't need to talk about Paradise. We've talked about it enough already. No, there's like a surfing reality show. I haven't watched it, but it comes on right after Paradise, and he hosts that as well. He's also hosted numerous things under the ABC Disney umbrella since Bachelor. Yeah. Like, he accomplished exactly what he set out to do. So,
absolutely.
Good for him. He also had one of the most memorable endings to his season ever, where he gave Jessica a one-way plane ticket, which was just, looking back on it now, was hilarious. Wasn't that his thing? Yeah. That was him, right? That did the one-way plane ticket?
Yeah. I don't know if it was, if he, you know, he splurged for the round trip or, if it was, you know, because it was one way. I mean, what are you going to do with her if she gets there? It doesn't work out.
Yeah. I know. It was just like, oh, well, she could just buy a one-way back. Like, it made it seem like it was some big thing. Like, oh, wow, he bought her a one-way ticket. It's like, yeah, if he doesn't like her, he could just turn back around and buy a one-way ticket home. And I don't think they lasted very long at all. I don't even know what happened with them. I don't even remember. But
I think they lasted maybe like a couple of weeks. I'm not 100% sure on that. But yeah, it wasn't long. It wasn't long. I think they were still together when we filmed after the final rose. Because I remember him being there and she was there. And they were like together. I think it was just like a couple weeks.
Oh boy, Jesse, you know, just not there for love. Oh well.
He got married.
Yeah, he finally did. I know he was with his. He was. Well, for a while there, he was running the Playboy life. I believe he was. he just had a lot. I remember seeing stories about, oh, Jesse Palmer's dating her, and now he's dating her. But yeah, I guess he definitely settled down and married someone, so good for him. So your season, and again, if people want to go back and listen to what we did 3 years ago, by all means, you can. I don't remember it at all, and I don't expect a lot of people to go back and listen, so we're kind of going to refresh them on a few things that happened on your season. We're not going to go through everything, but one of the things on your season that happened that hasn't happened since, I don't believe, and people have started to clamor for it, is the fact that on the very first night when all the girls arrive, one of the women that was there was Jesse's friend who was planted there to spy. The spy. And she stayed about, I think, maybe 3 or 4 rose ceremonies before. Was she found out by you guys, or she just came and told you and you guys were all shocked? Did any of you guys have suspicions?
I think it was Jenny. I think she came and told us, I think. And that's when I was like, oh, shit.
Well, did any of you suspect it? Were any of you talking like, hey, Jenny doesn't seem to be into him, or they look like BFFs more than lovers, anything like that?
No, I didn't. But you know what? It's funny because I didn't have any group dates with her. So there was nothing really to observe.
Okay.
On my end. I don't know, obviously with the, but no, I don't, no one suspected.
Was she more like when girls were sitting around, obviously when someone goes on a one-on-one, all you can do, the rest of you, is sit around the mansion and just talk and braid hair and whatnot. Did she just sit there? Was she more quiet because she was basically just observing to run stuff back to Jesse? Or was it, did she do a good job of acting and pretend like she really wanted him? Or is it or was it 16 years ago and you're like, shit, I don't remember. I don't remember what the hell she did.
I'm reaching on. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm kind of reaching on that. But nothing. I mean, I think she was pretty involved in all of our conversations, kind of from what I remember. Again, like nothing that would spark like, oh, well, you're not saying much, or, oh, why do you have a notepad? She was pretty engaged.
Be like, hey, Trish, what'd you say again, Trish? I need to let me write this in my notes. Yeah,
let me write that down.
One of the biggest things, obviously, was, brought it up earlier. You wore a shirt in the house that said "Gold Digger, like a hooker, just smarter." I think nowadays, if somebody wore that, obviously there'd be much more outcry on social media over it. But when wore it, what was the women's reaction to you?
They were like, wow. Kind of like, let me clutch my pearls. Really? Really? Like, well, you're from some small podunk town in Iowa or wherever you're from. Like, you don't get my humor. It's okay.
And did anybody, I can't remember, did someone run to Jesse and tell them about your shirt? Did it become a topic with him?
I have no idea.
Did he bring it up?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
Okay. Well,
if I ever run into him, I'll ask him.
Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah, I have it.
Oh, of course you do.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
I have it. Actually, my stepdaughter.
You pass it on her?
Yeah, no one's getting that shirt. It was her birthday during COVID. We were all back in Florida, and she was asking me about it, and I took it. I was in one of my storage units, so I took it out of storage and I brought it with me to our birthday dinner. And she put it on, and I was laughing. I was like, "Yeah, that's not going to fit me anymore."
Has she ever watched it?
Yeah, I think the kids were little, obviously, and I was not with my husband at the time.
Yeah.
Him and I, just a quick history, him and I had been together, broke up. I was single for a little while. I went and did the show, and then I came back from the show, and him and I got back together and were together and then got married. So obviously his ex-wife was intrigued when the show was airing. So she was watching it. And of course, like, the kids were, you know, doing homework or whatever. So it was on. So they watched it. But it was, you know, they were 6 and 7. I mean, I think they were pretty young. So.
Okay.
And thank God, I don't think they could find the episodes.
Yeah, I don't even know if Jesse's season is online somewhere. I'm sure.
Oh, it probably is.
I'm sure there's clips on YouTube of it, but I don't know if, like, you can, like, yeah, go to one of the streaming services and just binge watch your whole season. I don't think Jesse's, but I could be wrong. I don't watch past seasons.
That just stays in the closet.
What about your stepdaughter? Has she ever mentioned about applying to be on it?
No.
Would you let her?
You know, our kids are adults now. And if they wanted to do something, we would probably give them counsel. Because it's so different now. I mean, thank God my season was before social media and Instagram and Twitter. Oh my God. Thank God. Because some of these poor reality people, people are brutal. They really are. I mean, and I got, you know, the brunt of it for what social media was at the time. But I thank God there was no, you know, I mean, I think Facebook was just getting going. The iPhone hadn't even launched, I think. I don't even know when the iPhone, I did not have an iPhone. But, you know, so much has changed in that reality world. So, but I mean, if they wanted to do it, they're all very happy in their lives. They're, you know, they all have significant others. And
okay, so they're taken.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Based on the edit that you received on that show and wearing the shirt that you did, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here and saying you absolutely 1,000% would have been slut-shamed to hell before 2018. It would have been a whole slut-shaming campaign against you. Hell, it probably was back then for what you got. Just it was fewer outlets that had a chance, you know, to do it. And I think that's just the way things were back then. I'm sure that I wrote some bad shit about you. I'm sure I did. But I've deleted all that stuff off my website.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. But yeah, I mean, I'm things have changed. And like I said, you know, you said there's no Instagram, there's no Twitter. So you can't get immediate feedback. Like if your season was airing in a time of social media, like you would have been finding out as the scene of you with the t-shirt on or as the scene of you walking and just, you would have been finding out in real time what people thought of you. They would have been all over your Instagram and your captions and telling you how horrible you are and calling you names. And I mean, so you didn't have to deal with that, but you did deal with backlash. I think The Soup was a big show back then. I'm sure they brought you up a few times. In fact, I know
probably
they did. Did you ever get to a point where you got a death threat or some serious hate where you were worried about somebody following you or contacting you? Did it ever get that bad?
They did bring in, at one point they did bring in when I was out there for the rap party. Well, they always tell you to stay away from the message boards, which I don't even know if they have a message board anymore because the way things are. But at this point in time, there were message boards. And someone, of course, published my cell phone number. That's fun.
Oh, geez.
And like the middle of the night, and I was like getting these weird, like all these like phone calls. And I was like, what is going on? And then, you know, I don't know how it played out. And they were like, oh, Jesus. So they wiped the message boards clean. They went in and did that. And then I think that was when I was out there for the rap party where actually Jenny apologized. And they brought in security for me, which was really weird. But, you know, again, thank God there was no, it's not like it is today. So.
Yeah, I was going to say they had Women Tell All back then, right? You guys went back.
Yeah.
That was, is that the rap party you were talking about? The Women Tell All?
Or Yeah, probably was. It was probably all kind of rolled into one.
Yeah.
So we were all out there. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's crazy to think that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I turn on, like, again, I actually do not watch reality TV, which is, you know, kind of funny, but, you know, I'll be flipping through channels and I'm, you know, the Housewives of somewhere will be on and I'm like, oh my God, like, I got nothing on these, some of these women.
Yeah.
Know?
It's like you were, it's like, it's like you walked so they could run because compared to what we see now on reality TV, like,
this is
the
nothing.
Stuff, the shit you did was tame. Yeah, it was.
Exactly.
It was just, oh, I'm outspoken, and you know, I'm not here for, you know, to make BFFs with, become BFFs with all of you. It was just, you spoke your mind, and you wore a T-shirt. Yeah. Now they're, you know, they fight and they swing at each other on certain shows,
right?
You know? like really, is what you did all that bad? No, but
they flip tables. Yeah, and they, I mean, it's like not, it's crazy.
Yeah, and they call each other, and they call each like. As far as I remember, you may have been, you know, confident in who you were and outspoken, but I don't think you trashed the other women or called them names. Now it's just bitch this and, oh, you know, F that bitch. And, you know, it's just like that's what it's turned into. I mean, it wasn't anything like that for you.
No. I am strong. I have a backbone, but I'm not mean. That's, you know, I would never... That's just not in my wheelhouse to behave that way. So, I mean, it's fine if other people want to behave that way. I really don't care. I just don't.
Well, so. when you did find your TV husband in bed with another woman, you did come back and haunt her. So you are a little bit mean.
Well, you know, some people just need to learn. They need to learn.
Yeah. You did become a ghost, and then
I did become a ghost.
I honestly need to go. I need to go back and watch The Scorned. I really do. I think after our last one, I showed you. I still have the DVD. I have it.
Have it too somewhere. I don't own a DVD player, which might be part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, people. Yeah, I have one. I rarely ever use it. Obviously, everything I watch is on streaming now, but. I still have one, and it's plugged in.
Would you like me to autograph it for you? You could send it to me.
Honestly, that would probably make my year if you did that.
I'm kidding.
So, yeah, I was just wondering if it ever really got bad for you to where the ridicule and the, you know, the hate that you were getting ever affected you, like... You got depressed or anything like that, or you were like, I'm afraid to leave my house. I don't even want to be seen by anyone.
You know what? It was just, there was a couple of days where like, I just kind of stayed, you know, down, or I went to the beach by myself. Cause I mean, obviously I was living in Florida, so the beach was very close, but yeah, there was a couple of days that I was like, oh, good Lord, you know, just cause it was so, you know, I don't want to say groundbreaking, but for lack of a better term, our season was at that point, having a spy, me coming back, it was Jesse Palmer, you know, all of that kind of rolled into one. So we got so much press. The only thing it kind of really affected was work, was modeling. So I had a nice, year of some downtime. Because, you know, no one wanted to, they were like, we can't book you. Like, you're too recognizable. It takes away from, you know, what the product or the fashion or whatever. So.
So you were affected in that way. You lost work because of it. That sucks.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a fun year. I mean, I got to do a lot of stuff.
I mean, nowadays, you wouldn't lose work. You would lose followers on Instagram. Like, that's basically how it would work now. That would be the thing.
I know.
Which
I can't even keep up.
Yeah. Which, in turn, would be almost like a loss of income for these people because Instagram is now income for them. But, it's just, it was such a different time. And, you know, I like the fact that I'm able to talk to a villain in the early days versus a villain now because of how different it is. And, as shitty as it probably was for you on some days, it's still very tame compared to if you did the same exact things nowadays, it would be the amount of hate that you would get online and people just offering you their opinions about you that don't even know you would be would be nonstop. And that's kind of what the show has turned into now. And it's not what it was. And, you know, it was like the innocent days back then with you girls. Do you keep in touch with anybody or no?
I keep in touch with one of our producers. That's it. When I get to LA, I try to see him. But I'm usually in LA so quick. It's, you know, it's like one night, you know, usually on the way to somewhere else. But yeah, no, that's it.
What about any of the women? None?
No. Mm-mm. It's fine. I haven't even gotten any. Surprisingly, I haven't gotten any Facebook requests from anyone.
I mean, they can't still be bitter 16 years later.
I mean, they don't want to be friends with me.
I mean, come on. It's been 16 years. If they can get over
it. I mean,
right?
Yeah, no. It's, you know, bury the hatchet. No. No, that's fine. I have no investment in any of those girls. I'm quite all right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, obviously you've moved on and you, like you said, you've been with your now husband for long ass time. I mean, over 15 years in terms of.
We started dating in 2002 and then we were on a break when I did The Bachelor. we got married in 08. So, yeah.
Wow, 13 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost 14. Yeah.
And I know that, so you said at the beginning of the podcast, I want to just kind of go into what you've been up to since. Mm-hmm. When we did it 3 years ago, you were living in Fort Lauderdale, and you have since moved. I didn't know this until we were talking pre-show. You guys moved. You guys made a move. So tell everybody what went into that, where you moved to, all that.
We decided to get out of crazy land. Florida to us is like the Wild Wild West. It has just gotten worse. We made the move. We came back to Charleston, South Carolina. Anybody that knows me, I went to school at the College of Charleston, spent 20 years back in Florida. And after our youngest graduated college, we were like, all right, we're out. We got to go. So my husband and I sat down and made a plan and, you know, where do we want to go? Cause this is going to be it. Like this is where we're going to retire. So we needed good food, which is very important to us cause we love, you know, good food and fine dining. We also needed a really good airport because we do a lot of travel. Usually we're gone one or two times a month. Obviously that's been curbed since COVID, and we wanted some Southern hospitality. So, and of course, you know, when you get to be our age, you have to look at taxes and you have to look at like all sorts of adult things. And Charleston kind of fell back into it. I mean, he said, would you go back? And I said, yeah, I would, surprisingly. I did want to go back to Atlanta where I was raised. Charlotte was off because the traffic is terrible. And we're like those old people that don't want to go anywhere with traffic. And Charleston kind of ticked all the boxes. So for me, it really was like coming back home because I had such a great college experience here. I loved living here the first time. So yeah, we made the move. We bought a house in the first week of the pandemic. So that was fun, good times, good times. And, we love it.
Where is he originally from?
All over. He spent most of his years overseas. He is American, but he has spent most of his career, and younger years, his dad was in the army, so overseas.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. And we would, you know, he spent a lot of time in Asia working, and we love it. I mean, Asia's amazing. Tokyo is fantastic, but it's just a little too far. You know, if you have to get back for something, it's 14 hours. You know, you can't get there fast. So I said, there's no way. So, and he agreed. So here we can get to the kids if we need to get to the kids. My parents are, you know, a couple hours away, which, you know, you have to take that into consideration too when your parents start to get older.
Yeah.
So a lot of factors we thought about before we moved.
You mentioned earlier that you're kind of in early retirement now due to the pandemic.
Yeah. Considering my clients were in New York, we know how New York fared. It was just sort of weird. Like, I woke up one day and was like, oh, I don't think I'm working anymore.
Well, wait, what were you doing again? I forgot.
I was still modeling, but, you know, I had just a few clients. Because my husband and I, you know, whenever he travels, I go with him. So, you know, it was just easier to kind of scale back on working. And then my client in New York is fantastic. And it just, the schedule really worked well for my schedule. But obviously with the pandemic and the shutdowns and, you know, masks and vaccinations and all of that kind of stuff, they have obviously changed the way, like a lot of people, that they do business. So we'll see. I mean, if they call and say, hey, can you come and, you know, work? I 100% I'm happy to. But, you know, for right now, I think people are still trying to figure out how they're going to navigate going forward. You know, because it is what it is.
Because you guys are such big travelers, obviously, mm-hmm. with COVID, got shut down for a while. But have you guys started to get back into it? Where have you been?
Oh, my gosh. I actually was out in Palm Springs in L.A. in March, which I go every year. So obviously the year that we got shut down, I was a little salty when they were filming The Bachelorette at the resort I always go to.
Oh, you stay at La Quinta when you go?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, love. Just never leave the property. Love. And, you know, here I was getting ready to go and they're like, yeah, no, we've shut the whole world down. And then everyone kept saying to me, they're like, well, you know, they're filming The Bachelorette at La Quinta. And I was like, you know what? I can't even watch that. I'm still sad.
Yeah.
We went to, I think we were in, Austin? No, we weren't in Austin. We were in somewhere in Dallas a little while back. But we're getting ready to start up again. Thank God, you know, things are getting back, well,
somewhat normal.
Traveling.
Yeah.
Somewhat normal, but it's very odd for us to, you know, again, be in one spot for as long as we were in. You know, we're used to going and seeing and exploring, and, you know, so I'm ready to get back to Europe. And
I was going to say, aren't you big international? You guys are big international travelers, right? And so have you been international since March of 2020?
No.
Oh, wow.
We have not. He is getting ready to go international in December. We will be going, I think we're going to Vegas too. We've got a little bit of travel planned, and then obviously starting January, we'll hopefully get back to a couple times a year in Europe and then all through the States.
Well, so. I've been to Vegas 4 times this calendar year. Never went in 2020, but I've been 4 times since March. And
wow.
Only one of the 4 times I went Memorial Day weekend, and that was right around the time they had just basically they didn't have the mask mandate. So when I went in March, there was the mask mandate. Then I went Memorial Day weekend and there was no mask mandate. And then I went couple weeks ago and then 2 weeks before that. So I was there in end of August and beginning of September. And yeah, they're back to the mask mandate. But honestly, outside of wearing a mask, Vegas really hasn't, it's not like it's a ghost town anymore. People are definitely going back there. The pools are filled. The clubs are open. Every restaurant, like, things aren't shut down there anymore. You just have to wear a mask wherever you go. And honestly, when you're inside, you're just like kind of used to it. Wearing a mask outside, you don't have to. So it's not like you have to. And, you know, when it's 106 out there walking on the strip, you don't want to wear a mask anyway. But yeah, when you go out to the pool, you don't have to wear a mask. So, I just tell people who have asked me, I'm like, yeah, it's different that everybody inside's wearing a mask. But in terms of the crowd, I didn't notice, especially when I was there 2 weeks ago, I didn't really notice much of a difference.
Charleston, we're a red state. People are like, COVID what? Huh? I mean, we haven't worn masks in, and again, this isn't up for like debate or however people personally think. I don't care. Like, I'm to each his own.
Yeah.
But I think also what I noticed, because I'm out and about, my husband's usually home because he works from home. But everyone's really respectful. I hear these like crazy stories on the news. I mean, everyone pretty much maintains their space. Everyone's respectful of that. So we haven't been wearing masks in a while. I mean, Charleston County, like downtown Charleston, required masks to obviously walk to your table and then take your mask off. I mean, whatever. But everywhere else was, once that they lifted that, they were like, we're done.
Yeah. So when So when you guys go to Vegas, it might be a little bit different for you to be fully masked most of the time that you're inside. You might think like, oh, it's certainly different. But in terms of, are people not going because of it? I would say no. It still is pretty full.
That's what I noticed. I think people are just so like happy to be out and about. I mean, even during the shutdown, I hear like stories like people never left their house, and I'm like, this is bizarre to me. I mean, I just was careful, went to the grocery store because it was really the only thing open. We did miss out on obviously the dining because a lot of the restaurants were closed. But when things started to kind of like open back up, it was weird, like to go in and sit down at a restaurant with people, after you hadn't been doing that for, let's just say, a couple of months, depending where you were. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it was nice, man. There was like hardly any traffic. It was great.
You and your traffic.
I know. I'm like that. I am literally the old person that complains about traffic.
Well, just think. I mean, when hopefully we get through all this and things die down again and the infection rates go down again, maybe you will, but you might even be happy at one point when traffic does kick back up because you're like, yes, things are back to normal.
I live in Charleston. People here complain about the traffic, and I laugh. I'm like, I'm sorry, what traffic? And they're like, oh, it took me 10 minutes to get home. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm from South Florida. It takes me 10 minutes to get in my driveway.
Oh, my gosh.
This is nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, my gosh. I mean, well, I think, we'll see we'll see what happens. I think things are, people are certainly way more people are traveling now than they were, say, summer of 2020 for sure.
When I did travel out, I actually flew via Charlotte. The airport was full. My flight was full going, coming back. I mean, people are out, they are traveling, and you have to wear a mask, respect that. I may not like it, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to wear a mask, don't fly. You need to drive. Like, enough.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're stupid enough now to go to an airport and complain about a mask, I mean, that's just going to get you nowhere. What's the point? It's like, this is the rule now. It's like, you might not like it. None of us want to wear a mask on a plane, but we know it's the rule, so we just do it without bitching about it. You see videos all the time of people at an airport and screaming at some ticket person who has nothing to do with making the rule, and you're just like, good God, calm down.
I know, those poor people. It's like, you're not making a statement. Nobody cares. You're annoying everyone. You're inconveniencing everyone.
Yeah.
You know, now we have to go back to the gate so they can get the freaking marshals to come on and take you off. Like, enough.
Yeah. And it's enough.
This is a reality of what it is right now. I don't care if you agree with it or not, but, you know, I don't feel like being fined $1 million from the FAA. So there you go.
Yeah. No, it's a pretty simple thing. Like, if you want to fly, just know that this is the rule. There is absolutely no point whatsoever to bitch about it when you get there. It's going to get you absolutely nowhere. What's the point? So
the stories are entertaining, though, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, if a TikTok video comes out or any video comes up online of someone on a plane or someone in an airport freaking out because they have to wear a mask, trust me, I'll watch it. And
it's always Florida. Have you ever noticed? It's always Florida.
Well, yeah, Florida's involved in everything.
Oh my God.
I mean, jeez. God, even the biggest story, you know, even the biggest story in the news right now, you know, with the missing girl that unfortunately was found, Florida girl.
Florida. I know.
Yeah. I mean, don't even get me started on that story. I mean, good Lord.
Oh.
Talk about the mishandling of a case. Jesus. So you go just real briefly. Let's summarize what we know here. You go on a cross-country trip with your fiance in a van. You return from that trip without your fiance. And they live at the parents' home. It's not like they went back to their home and it was just the two of them and nobody could question, "Hey, where's the wife or where's the fiance?" They lived with his parents.
Yeah.
Did nobody bother to ask, "Hey, the fiance you went on the trip with, where is she?
Is she still in the van?
Yeah. I mean, good God. I'm not making light. Obviously, they've found her remains, and it's just an awful story all around.
Yeah.
Clearly, he fled. He's not missing. He fucking fled. I hate them saying that he's now gone missing. He fled.
Yeah.
Like, he knows he's busted.
He is missing from his home, but he fled, and...
He knows he's screwed. He's either gonna unfortunately be found not alive, or he will not last much longer once he turns himself in or whatever, is found or whatever. It's not gonna end pretty for him. We know that.
Probably check Key West because that's where all the criminals end up, like 10 years later.
Yeah. I mean, I'll
find him there.
When I saw this story, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Like, how did they not? He was home for 10 days before he fled and without his fiance and at his parents' house. Like, come on. Like, how did you not handle that better? But anyway, different topic. Trish, it was great catching up with you. Thank you so much for coming on again. I really enjoyed it. It won't be another 3 years before we check in again. But I'm glad to hear that everything's going well with you. Glad you made the move to South Carolina. Congrats on that. And we will certainly be in touch.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Trish.
All right, Eddie.
Bye. Thank you so much to Trish. I love going old school and talking to former contestants like this. Like I said, Trish was a long time ago. 04, 05, she said, when it filmed or aired. And then a long time ago, she was on the podcast. I can't believe she was on podcast number 83. And today we're at, let me double check. I said 253 during the podcast, but that was without looking. I was trying to go off memory. And I think I was right. And yes, I'm right. So 253. She was 83. My gosh. June 21st. 2018. Yikes. 3 1/4 years ago. But glad to have her back. just wanted to talk about the whole villain aspect and obviously how much different it is for her now versus somebody else coming up now who's a villain. Yeah, doesn't work out. But thanks to Trish for coming on. Thank you all for listening. Please rate, subscribe, and review an Apple Podcast. We'll be back next week. So for Trish Snyder-Cullen, I'm Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. See ya!